Hi, welcome to our lunchtime date together with me, John Ballum. I am an organizational development consultant, I'm an educator, and I'm a coach with a passion for lifelong learning. With me today is my partner in crime, Gifty.
Hi everyone, I'm Gifty Parker, HR professional with a background in learning and development, performance management, as well as talent management.
So for the next 20 minutes, we invite you to sit back, find a glass of something nice, and enjoy an unusual conversation with us. You know, you consult to small businesses as well, Gifty. So how do you think a small business, and we can talk big business as well, but how do you think a small business can begin to transform itself into something beautiful with then tiny budgets? What are some of the steps you think they can take?
That's a very good question and very relevant as well. You know, I think for any business, when it comes to business, transforming themselves or trying to be beautiful, I think we can start from internally, like inside the organization.
Yeah.
When we look inside the organization, we think about the people, right? Our employees. Yeah. A very good example of what John and I disclose in terms of our own shared experiences could just be, you know, finding a way to develop your employees, finding a way to support your employees, to help them to be satisfied. And one thing I want to emphasize here is people are different, you know. What may be appealing to me in terms of beauty may not be the same as my colleague. So I want to urge businesses to always seek feedback. And understand their people better. Yeah.
Yes.
So beauty can also be, find out what that will be for them. Beauty can be, like you said, those design, interior. It could be anything from somebody feeling valued. It could be anything to somebody feeling knowledgeable. So they will invest in training.
Right.
Yeah. It could be anything around that way. Because if you start from the internal, somehow it goes into the external, right? Is it a service supply chain model, your employees happy and satisfied, your customers will be happy and satisfied, and overall will be a good sustainable practice for you as an organization, right? So when the employees feel good, they will represent your brand and they provide exceptional customer experience. Now, also start from inside, very little things that organizations can do in terms of beauty is, you know, paying attention to very little things like your branding, elements around your signage, your logo, is it inclusive? Is it something that contributes to the environment? I've actually had an organization where they told me, Gifted, we want our job description to have a gender-neutral language. We want it to be appealing to everyone. That you could do. That are still aspects of being beautiful, right? Obviously, aspects of beauty. But also that could go to our product or our services that we're giving, right? We talk about beauty, we can extend that to our product, our services, the quality. And we can actually encourage our clients, our customers to give feedback, you know? Let them give feedback, they will act upon those feedback. But my point is, it's always something that would be ongoing, something that can always be improved, can always be developed, you know? Even if it's engaging in the community, you do that, you get feedback. You find ways to continuously do better when it comes to promoting that beauty.
Yeah.
So that's my take there.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to give a real practical example of that because you mentioned asking for feedback. And again, one of these strange things that happened when I was consulting, I happened to be in a business when a business was doing this. I was asking employees. So what they did was they gave the employees a list of things, right? And these were small changes. These weren't big budget stuff, right? And they said, please rank these in order of, you know, what you would like, you know, and things. There was things like some more art on your office wall and there's all, you know, a bunch of things. But anyway, when I saw the results of the survey, I just nearly fell off my chair because the top two things, top three actually, is talk about the top three things on that list. And there was a list of about 20 things. The top three things, the first one was a pad and a computer, you know, for your wrist pad for your computer to support your wrists. so you don't get carpal tunnel syndrome.
The software
you put you on the edge of the desk. The next thing was the pens, all the pens to have those like rubber pads on them. So when you hold a pen and you write with it, it's nice and soft for your finger. And the third thing on the list was the chairs. Well, you know all about the chairs. And I was quite surprised, you know, these very, very basic things. There were things like art and stuff for the walls and new curtains and all that stuff. But what people went for was the immediate sensory stuff that affected them. Yeah, it was very interesting for me. And I thought there was a very wise HR manager who did that.
And today, a lot of organizations are really striving to create that, you know, that unique way of, you know, creating beauty. Especially post the pandemic, it's become a huge emphasis on people, on engagement, you know.
Yes.
Trying to bring beauty out in whatever way that we can, whether it's through experience or through packaging in terms of what we give our employees. I've had employers now are finding that if you're trying to get furniture, you can look into those that are actually very good when it comes to ergonomics, to a very typical one standard. The ones with the ergonomics, so human ergonomics, are actually about the same price as a standard one. So we're finding more ways to actually make a difference for employees. So those were a very good example, and I'm very happy to see quite a few employers are considering.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because this is going to, we spend so much time at work and more than at home sometimes. And we better be looking after and caring for people like that. You know?
I agree. I actually have one question for you.
One more question, okay?
One more question. So I actually think we sort of covered most of our topics, but this is obstacles that we could pay attention to when it comes to beauty within an organization.
Right.
We always have obstacles, for example, budgets. How could businesses overcome such obstacles?
That's a very good question. So I think the biggest obstacle, which we mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, is the perception of what beauty is. So I like to say that beauty is something elitist. Well, actually, it's a radically democratic beauty. There is an elitist aspect to it. We all get that. But really, on a day-to-day basis, beauty is a great democratizer. And there's a whole bunch of commonality around the basic, good, savory human sensory experience we all want. So that's the one thing I think we need to kind of take the spook out of it for people. And it's not elitist. And then the other obstacle, these are psychological obstacles, is that, and I mentioned it earlier, but it's worth repeating, that beauty is somehow going to make people fat and lazy, you know, and unproductive, when actually the opposite is true. And there's lots of research to prove that now, that beauty stimulates creativity and productivity, whereas the opposite of it, ugliness, kills it and crushes it. Those are two of the things, even I think sometimes before budget. Because if we get that understanding of that, an accurate understanding, then we'll see that a lot of the beauty can be made with these incremental changes. Sure, there's going to be some budget stuff. I get that. But actually, a lot of it is about how we make these small changes. And many of these small changes amount to some big changes in the employee's experience. You know, and I'm going to quote this example again, because it's another thing that really is so basic, but it so frustrates me, you know, that you go into some organizations and the quality of the paper in the washroom, you know, which you have to clean yourself, is this rasping, it's horrible stuff. It's close to newsprint, you know. I don't like my backside being scraped raw, you know, but quite frankly. So, you know, there are small things like that, like decent toilet paper, which just nobody's going to come thank you for that. Nobody's going to say, oh, thank you for that great toilet paper. No, but it's there where we've got to start, you know. And then worry about the picture on the wall later. So, or another example is this. I was in an organization recently where I became a junior member of this organization, and I got a welcome certificate. And it was this like photocopied piece of paper. And I'm like, no, 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 no. Now I happen to be the boss of that organization, or on the organization, and I promise you, no more handing out pieces of photocopied paper when people going to get a framed certificate, you know, with some color in it to hang on their wall, you know. Because it just communicates, right? So the last barrier to beauty, and this is one which is a difficult one, is whatever we do in this regard, which age we are, must be sustainable, right? Otherwise, it just crashes and burns. So my favorite one is office plants. You know, a lot of people want plants around them, and I get that, okay? But boy, oh boy, you better get a firm to you contract somebody, even if it's, you know, two plants that they look after, professionally to look after your office plants. Because sad, wilting, you know, dying office plants send in a whole other message. So you've got to think carefully, okay, if we want to make this change, is it sustainable in the long term? You know, do we have the expertise, you know, for example, office plants, I think most people don't have the clue of how to look after these things. And now, so you better get a company organize it for you. So you've got to think carefully about what you do, because the last thing you want to do is get all happy and launch this thing and it crashes and it burns.
I agree. I'm building on that as well. Apart from whether or not the item is sustainable, is also maintenance. So there are things that provide a beautiful deck or a beautiful chair, and when it is repaired, are we able to cater for that? Are we able to prioritize that? Otherwise, we're back to where we were.
That's what I'm saying. Absolutely.
So it becomes important. And for me, one that I will mention, and this is based on experience, is conflicting priorities, right? You may have certain people who, we said the fact that it's subjective. While some group of employees may find a specific area to be one requiring that in a review around beautifying process or procedure or an equipment or aspect of the business, other employees may find another area to be most important. And then it just comes to, okay, which one are we going to pay attention with? And the best way, in my opinion, of doing this was finding the one that the benefit was the most priority, right? So we always kind of find that to be an issue, especially working for a nonprofit. We spend a lot of time debating what was the most important item on the agenda when it came to supporting employees. And it's always a case where it has to be a vote. And we spend such a long time doing that voting without giving that due attention to what actually needs to be done, right?
Right.
What becomes important too.
And I think there's a base plate there. You know, I always say, people say to me, what criteria? Well, it's safety, hygiene, comfort.
Yeah.
Those three principles, safety first, then hygiene, then comfort. Yeah.
We're drawing the Maslow's hierarchy of
Exactly. You know, so I think management sometimes does need to actually not be democratic. If they know, for example, safety and hygiene, and they know, for example, the air conditioning is making people unproductive. Even though everybody may want a nice piece of corporate art on the wall, they've just got to say, you know, long term, they don't say we're managing because we know better, but you are employed as a manager or a leader because, yes, you do have a superior skill set in some senses. And you've got to just, unfortunately, sometimes just make those calls. You know? It's not going to be a democratic decision.
Well, beautiful topic around.
Oh, thank you.
A lot of our listeners were like, oh, I didn't know it was going to be that type of beauty. But when we talk at the workplace, we have a different viewpoint in terms of all perception of what the topic would entail. So it was I actually enjoy talking about it, you know, talking about my experiences and hearing your own experience.
Well, thanks, Kip. That was really great. I really enjoyed that. Thank you. So we'll see each other in a week's time, eh?
Absolutely. But John, we haven't done our usual, what was your take?
Ah, I'm waiting for you to
do.
Yeah. All right. You want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Of course, I think for me, one takeaway for me would be understanding fully what we mean when we say the beauty. What do we mean? Beauty is ethical. I think your example and through the questions that we kind of addressed today, it gives a clearer understanding around beauty as part of an organizational ethics, right? But it becomes important. And a lot is at stake when it comes to the conversation around beauty. It's something that impacts a lot of our people, all the stakeholders.
Absolutely.
So that's a big takeaway for me. And of course, going over there, the consequence or the impact of lack of beauty.
What you said is the linkage you've created between, you know, this experience, a physical experience of beauty, and then things like love and kindness and goodness, because they are linked. If we get these basics right, then it's almost like people automatically start being nice to each other and caring for each other, because they're not angry and all churned up inside and frustrated. So yeah, it's a great reminder. You know, it's not just about the comfort level, but it's about actually fostering these higher values through the very basics we do for people in organizations.
Yeah, I agree. Well, it's been a pleasure being here again with you. We'll post some of the questions that we answered at the bottom of our podcast just for you. Thank you so much, John, for a beautiful afternoon.
Yeah, likewise. Lovely stuff. Eh? All right. Bye-bye.
Until next time, this is Gifty Parker and John Barlam.
Remember, during your busy week ahead, stay good, stay true, and stay beautiful.
Bye-bye.